huge news, years in the making, my brand new book that my publishers refuse to publish, Money Matrix. Beat the money system and build generational wealth. Understand the three main ways that the banks productize you and make money from you. You'll be able to turn that system against itself, build generational wealth and multiple streams of recurring income. It's all at moneymatrix.cash. And if you're quick, the first few hundred registrants and buyers will receive many special bonuses from me. The brand new Moneymaker Summit 3-day special event. Meet me at a champagne reception. Meet me at a multi-millionaire networking dinner. Go now, moneymatrix.cash. This is huge.
Welcome to the Disruptive Entrepreneur Podcast.
What does the word disruptive mean to you?
It means going beyond the ordinary, going beyond the status quo.
Not thinking in the conventional way, not just sort of following the herd.
Disruptive means taking things up, you know?
Disruptive entrepreneur is somebody who sees the problem and embraces the problem with a new way.
Shake up and awakening.
Quality will take care of itself, and you'll go from being disruptive but also profitable.
When you use your reservoir of talent, when you love what you do, then you disrupt.
Mix it up, change it up, and dominate.
And now, your host, 8 times best-selling author and double world record holder, Rob Moore.
How to deal with all the demands on your time. Everyone wants a piece of you all the time. Private messages, time, emergencies, kids, clients, customers, stuff. Okay, so I've got maybe 9 or 10 ways for you to effectively, efficiently, ruthlessly deal with all the demands on your time. So the first thing is most people are blaming the whole world. It's everybody's fault that, you are so busy. And once we take responsibility and say, without beating ourselves up, but we say, I am responsible for everything I'm attracting in my life. If I'm too busy, I've chosen. People say, oh, well, I've got to get it all done. I can't hire staff, I can't afford it. You know, people can't do the work as well as me. These are all imaginations of your mind. Walmart have 2.3 million staff. Sam Walton and Walmart would not be able to be the huge, massive global enterprise at one point, probably one of the biggest companies in the world, without the 2.3 million staff. So people can actually do the jobs that you think only you can do. So don't get angry at the world. Just remember that whether you've got free time or completely overwhelmed, whether you're prioritizing or just dealing and sorting out everybody else's emergencies, and you get to the end of the day and you're like, well, what have I actually got done? You're attracting it by allowing people to reach you, by answering your phone, by replying to emails, by having all your notifications on, by not getting yourself some alone time, etc. And you can change that with the techniques and strategies I've got in this episode. All right then, so the first thing you want to do is compartmentalize your diary, i.e. at specific half-hour intervals from when you get up to when you go to bed, you plan in what you're going to do. And I wrote a book called Routine Equals Results to help you merge your passion profession, vocation, vacation, put what you love to do in as well as hobbies, as well as family time, as well as health and exercise and travel and income generating tasks and key result areas. And most people, they just start working, everything comes in, they're dealing with all the emergencies, they push away the gym, they push away some time with their family because, you know, they're too busy and they've got to get all these emergencies done. And then the end of the day, the month, the year, or the life goes by. But if from 6 to 6:30, you do your planning and vision, if 6:30 to 7 you do some key result area work such as sending out tasks to outsourcers or virtual assistants, 7:30 to 8 you reply to all important and urgent incoming emails, and then you don't do email again for, you know, until the evening. 8 to 8:30 you do sales calls, 8:30 to 9 you do meetings, 9 till 11 you maybe do your writing or content for your social media channels. 11 to 1, you have a break. 1 to 3, you do meetings or sales calls again or marketing. 3 till 6, you take off and have dinner with your family. 6 to 7, you go to the gym. 7 to 8:30, 3 days a week, you have a date night with your husband or your wife or your partner. So you literally compartmentalize everything in. I do my son's golf. I travel and take my kids around the world. I book my travel a year in advance. So compartmentaling, I'm sometimes a bit like that, is so important. And then basically, even if Lord Sugar wants a meeting with you, if it's not at your meeting times, you just delay it, postpone it, or make sure that you put it in at that time. The next thing is you need to have some rules for all the incoming. Now, I've always wanted to be personal, to connect with my audience. If people are kind enough to follow me or be a client or a customer, you know, I want to respect that. But as it gets more and more and more and more, I just physically can't. I think I get now up to 150 messages a day on all platforms except email, and then we easily get 750 emails a day to me on about four different emails, of which I manage one, and then I've got other people who manage the others. So, you know, that's a heck of a lot. So I gave my permission, myself permission first off, to if it's anything that's not really personal, that I can't personally help with, I'll have someone who outsources that. You know, I'll have an outsource manager of one of my email addresses. If they're rude, obnoxious, or entitled, I give myself permission not to reply. If their question is really long and complicated, I give myself permission to either say, could you just summarize that, or give myself permission not to reply. Because I can't do everything, even though I want to. So what you do is you set yourself little rules. If it's a logistical question, I'll send it to one of my team members who can deal with the logistics. And then that frees me to be able to give my best work and service, help the most amount of people. The next thing is I'll do time giving, if you like, so replying to people's questions and comments. I'll compartmentalize that into the diary. So I might spend maybe 2 hours. I think sometimes I spend 3 hours a day, every day, helping people without, you know, sending them invoices. That's a lot of time. So, you know, people could criticize me, but they can't criticize me for the amount of time that I invest in helping people. Now, I'm in the fortunate position where I don't need to earn money anymore, and I have passive income from assets and businesses, and, you know, retired a long time ago, although still do stuff. Retired financially. But it's all about having rules and barriers. And each time you get more demands on your time, you just add an extra rule in. I'll tell you something that's been really effective for me is there's like probably a set of 20-ish questions that I get asked over and over and over again. So all I've done is written an article or a blog on all of those. And, you know, like if you think about how many times I initially answered it and repeated the answer over and over, writing it from scratch, you know, spending 40 minutes writing a 2,000 word or 1,000 word blog or article is way less time. And then if they ask that question, I'll send them to that article. And if they ask another common question, I'll send them to the article. And I have about 20 of those now. And that saves probably a good 100 replies a week, maybe. I don't know, it might even be more. I often get ones about podcasting. So I wrote a really deep dive article on podcasting. You know, I'll get one on lenders and, you know, borrowing money from banks, or how to get into property, no money down. The next thing you can do is you can create a podcast or write a book on the subjects you get a load of questions on, and then you can just direct them to the book. Now, in the early days, I thought, oh, well, are people going to think I'm selling to them if they ask a question, I direct them to a podcast or a book? Well, a podcast is free, number one, and a book for a tenner. If they can't invest a tenner in themselves to go and find the information, well, you know, maybe that says something. So if I know it's in one of my books, I'll say, hey, great question. Haven't really got time to detail it out all now. It's chapter X in the book. Go and get the book. And when you've read the book, come back to me with more questions. Now, if they come back with more questions, I'll answer them, because I think, fair play to you. You went and read the book. You know, you've got what it takes. You made a bit of an effort. You respected my time. And then if I never hear from them again, well, it's kind of been a good qualifier. So, you know, that's really helped me. You know, just preserve my time, you know, and have some rules and leverage it. Now, as you get a lot of traffic, you can direct them to these FAQs, and then you could put a little call to action at the bottom for them to subscribe to a podcast or buy the book, you know, or buy one or more of your products or services. Okay, next then, on how to deal with the demands on your time, is use my LMD model, leverage, manage, do. So most people get all this incoming and they think, oh man, how do I get this done? I've got to do this and that. I'm so busy. I've got a million tasks to do. That's the wrong mindset. You need to change your thought process. So instead of thinking, what have I got to do? What I must do this, or how do I get it done? You change the thought process to, who can do this for me? Who's better than me at this? Who could I outsource this to? So it's just, it's literally changing the question in your mind, and it completely changes your outward reality. So what that makes you do is, instead of doing first all day, every day, and getting to the end of the day and doing for everybody else and having none of your own stuff done, you leverage first, which is pay an outsourcer, get a PA, a business partner, you know, an outsourcer, someone on fiverr.com or onlinejobs.ph or Upwork, you know, someone better than you, quicker than you, who enjoys the task. It's a strength of theirs and a weakness of yours. Now, for every 10 tasks you get in, I bet you 5, 6, even 7 of them could be leveraged out. Someone quicker, faster, better could do it, and it could cost you less than you doing it yourself if you know your income generating time. Once you've leveraged maybe half or more of your tasks, what you've done is halved your workload, But then some ongoing things that you've leveraged need managing. They need chasing, reminding, deadlines, etc. So then you just keep a record of the things that you've got outstanding that other people are doing for you. And when I write a to-do list, instead of writing to-do, I'll put two lines in one third of the page. So you've got leverage, manage, do, three columns. And then what I've got to leverage, what is in management, and what I've got to do. And what you should have is leverage and manage should have the most, and what you've got to do yourself should have the least in the list. And as that starts, as the to-do list gets less and the manage and leverage list get more, it means that you are probably getting 5 or 10 times more productive. Okay, so have your times in the day that you've compartmentalized where you're happy to donate your time for free. Maybe do some coaching calls, you know, reply to some requests, do some Facebook posts where you answer people's questions. Because when you get busy, you get really frustrated with everyone and yourself for being too busy. And so then you can be short or flippant or even rude or get into an argument and push away clients and customers. You know, people are a bit skeptical. They want you to ask a lot of questions. You're like, why are you asking me a lot of questions? Why don't you just buy my stuff? When in fact, they could be a lifetime client of yours. They just want to get their questions answered. So if you compartmentalize your time where you feel good and you want to help and you feel energized and enthused and rested and you're alone and not interrupted, and you compartmentalize maybe just 30 minutes up to 3 hours a day to do that, then you feel good about it, you care, and you do it in the right way. And, you know, if you look at all these celebrities who spend a lot of time, you know, doing stuff for free, selfies, etc. Well, if people interrupt them when they're doing something else, that's going to frustrate them. Whereas if they make time to do it and they're in that zone and that emotion, then they're probably going to love doing it and probably going to be very grateful to do it. And also, if people are getting demands on your time and you're trying to deal with it, but when you're under pressure or when it doesn't work for you, that's not going to work for them or you. And again, how you do all of this in your diary, your energy highs and lows, when you're most efficient and you're least productive, is all in my book, Routine Equals Results. In fact, I get asked a question around monetizing, that's monetizing and managing all mixed into a new hyper word. people always ask me about managing their time, overwhelm, so many demands on their time, you know, how do they cope and deal with it all? That's why I wrote the book, Routine Equals Results. So I could free my time, because for the maybe 100, 200 times a week, me or people who are connecting with the online profiles of me when they ask questions like that, I could say, hey, go read the book. So that's probably saving me 15 or 20 hours a week and my outsourced team. Okay, isolating yourself is the next point on dealing with demands and your time. If you are interrupted by messages, by notifications, by people, by staff, by kids, by your dog, you know, my dog, Ralph, I'm looking over there because the door's into the room there. He can open the door with his nose or he can jump up and pull handles down. The amount of time I'm in the zone and the dog comes in, you know, and jumps up on the sofa and runs all the way around this L-shaped sofa and starts licking his bits. And it's like, Ralph, get out. So I've got to lock the door. Or I've got a four-story house. I've got to go up on the fourth floor if my kids are downstairs killing each other. So go to a coffee shop. Or if you don't like background noise, go somewhere quiet. Get yourself out of the equation where you can be interrupted. Turn your messages off. Turn your notifications off. You know, and then you don't get interrupted because you could finally be in the flow. And then, you get interrupted. Now, if I get interrupted, more often than not, I forget what I was doing and then I get frustrated. And then I usually take it out on someone close by. So it's like I probably need a padded cell, really, to isolate myself. Make sure you've got all the resources you need. If you isolate yourself, but then you've not got an internet connection that's very good, or you haven't got all the paperwork that you need, then you've got to go back and get it and start again and start again. Okay, next thing is when people come and interrupt you, say, hi, thanks, would it be okay if you came back at 3 o'clock? Or they say, could you do this? And you say, yeah, I could do that, but is it okay if I don't do it now? Could I do that at 5 o'clock? Or could we book that in via my diary management system? Or could you go to my PA and book that in? People are coming to me all the time. And sometimes they think I'm being a bit, you know, standoffish if I push them to my PA. But if I booked it in myself, it would be a disaster. So yes, but not now is a nice way of saying no. Brian Tracy's taught me that. Yes, but not now. And then go and book it in later when it works for you and works for them. And you, it's the right thing for them because you can give them your full undivided attention. Next thing to preserve the demand on your time is, could you net time? So I had about a 3-hour journey to go to one of my podcast interviews just recently. And so I compartmentalized and got 25 calls done in the car on the way and on the way back. Now, if I had to do 25 calls at 15 to 20 minutes a pop, you know, that's a good few hours where I've got to find that in the day. Whereas that is dead time in the car. Now, I always have a driver when I go on long distances, and it's not an opulence. It pays, because if I pay a driver £250 to take me 3 hours there and back, or it might be 300 quid, but I can get 25 calls in. Now, if I needed the money, I could make those sales calls. And if I closed one in five, and I closed five at £1,000, and that's £5,000, and the driver cost me 300 quid. That's his massive net timing. So, you know, listen to your podcast and your audiobooks in the gym or walking, or, you know, have a little meeting in the train, and pay 23 quid for the first class upgrade. So you've got some peace. Now, in my book, Life Leveraged, I talked about all the different things that you can net time to free time, preserve time, so that you basically get a double win, a double use of your time, and then you don't feel like your time's being drained or stolen. You could use bots and autoresponders. So in Facebook, you can have autoresponders and messenger bots. You can have that in Instagram. You can have email autoresponders. Now, sometimes they can be a bit impersonal, and I've certainly unsubscribed to some Facebook people I thought were people, and these were bots just selling me stuff all the time. And, you know, so I would use automation in the colder media. So email's a bit colder now, isn't it? Because obviously it's everyone's on it and there's a million emails a day. So, you know, I might be a bit more automated in that. I might not write the copy myself. I might have timed autoresponders to go out maybe 2-3 emails a week for a few weeks, something like that. Emails, I don't have an autoresponder on my email because everyone does it. And it just means you get double the emails in your inbox. But there's various automation things that you could do. Certainly, creating audio answers to questions or written blogs is automation, because then people can go and read those as opposed to using your time. Doing recorded videos that you can then send to people, that could be automation with those common questions. So, you know, I think automation and bots and autoresponders, but try and keep the personal human element if you can. And then we've got one more. So hopefully you found this useful. So, the battery hasn't run out either. I've done longer than I thought podcasts before, and then the battery goes. How can you get what I call scale leverage? So, you know, this has taken me so far 16 minutes to do this live feed video and this podcast. But I've got 131,000 people that follow me on Facebook. So this is being streamed live to all of those. The recording will go on LinkedIn. The record, 1 minute excerpts could go on Instagram. It could go on YouTube, and then I'm recorded the audio podcast, which is on the Disruptive Entrepreneur podcast, which reaches nearly 2 million people in 192 countries. So what I've done with this piece of content of how to deal with demands on your time, instead of sitting on my own and writing it and then just posting it, I've done what's called scale leverage, which is where the one part of the scale equation is I'm reaching a lot of people by doing it live and recording it as an audio. So I'm, you know, one too many. But another part of the scale leverage is I can repurpose this content many times over onto many different media and platforms. Now, if I make it evergreen, i.e. I don't talk about something that's transient, like interest rates or Brexit or Trump, it means that I could definitely use this for another 10 years because this content will not go out of date in 10 years. So I've got three ways of scale and leverage in terms of this one, now 17 minutes worth of content that I've done. So if you can do that in most of the things that you do, you don't resent investing your time in it, because it's no longer exchanging time for money or no money. It's an asset that you create that you get multiple leverage on. And that's a massive win. And if you can, for example, you know, if you've got staff and you're teaching them stuff, well, record, get a little Zoom H1, which is what I'm doing this audio podcast on, 70 quid for the Zoom H1, 20 quid for the clip-on lav mic. And when you're onboarding a staff member, you're actually talking to them live, record it. And then every new staff member can listen to the audio of the onboarding, so you don't have to do the onboarding. Then you preserve your time. Then you can go and do more of what you love, or as I usually tend to do, create all these systems, have nothing left to do, retire again, get bored again, and then write another business model or income stream or course or vertical or whatever. But that just seems to be my choice. For me, retirement wasn't about time. It was about being able to liberate the time so I could go and do more things. And grow and make more money. But I'm not going to judge you, and you maybe shouldn't judge me on what freedom and retirement means to you. But this, you can either liberate your time so you can get more done in less time. You can liberate your time so you can just do more of what you love and less work. You can liberate your time so you can invest your time into higher income generating tasks so you make even more money. Or you can liberate your time to go and do stuff for free, like a charity or a philanthropic venture, or the content that you want to create and put out to the world. All right. So, well, we've got 19 minutes out of that. Thanks for tuning in. If you're on the live, make sure you get on my podcast, The Disruptive Entrepreneur, which you can find on iTunes or Stitcher or SoundCloud or Alexa or anywhere. And if you're listening to the podcast on The Disruptive Entrepreneur podcast, make sure you join the Disruptive Entrepreneur Facebook community, where my listeners around the world will engage, and I'm very active, and I'll answer some of your questions myself. And then I'll write a blog about it, and then I'll create leverage from it. So you will be helping me as I help you. So thanks for tuning in. And remember, if you don't risk anything, you risk everything. And sorry about the squeaky sofa.